Episode 321, post-BlizzCon, post-mortem, RIP Overwatch League. Is it officially dead? It's been a long time coming. I think we've all been kind of bracing for this. And today's the day. Today's the day of reckoning and the first steps into what will probably be a pretty bleak 2024. Yiska, what do we think?
Yeah, no, that shit, of course, like, there was no way this was going to go any other way, I think.
Yep.
the way this was transpiring in total, I think, made it probably even a sensical point from the point of view of organizations at this stage of the esports industry, of this league in particular, of your interest of the viewership, of the game. And yeah, here we are. I still say, like, that shit still fucked me up when I got the... got the email that this was going to be confirmed, because as I understood the vote to work, there was just no way that the announcement by the Toronto Defiant could mean anything else.
Yeah.
And therefore the direct implication of them announcing it this quickly. By the way, this was... We had almost like a little fire alarm of this the week prior, I think, or a couple of weeks prior, when they announced that their outstanding franchise fees had been waived exactly for the amount of $6 million. And we were all like, oh my God, it's happening.
They did it.
Yeah.
And now they actually did it, right? And it's, it is pretty wild. Like, they are a publicly traded company. It is still wild that this is basically how it came out. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah, like it wasn't fun to be, I read it, I immediately reached out for comments to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think I got it back pretty early and got to, you know, write that piece up. Still not fun. And yeah, Crusher 99 is dead.
Crusher 99, there's no draft, there's no... Combine, I'm big pissed.
Yo, big match. Miro has been
Miro pissed. Is not going to the combine, bro. I'm mad.
Dude.
Nate Nanzer, I'm coming for you. You're getting another tweet.
The most rinsed player actually scammed.
Man.
Yeah, what a... It's... I will say, like, there's a lot of strong emotions as a result of this.
Sure.
And with many, I agree. at least emotionally. Maybe not in a week. But it's if we already knew what was going to come, maybe it would be better, maybe it wouldn't be. But it's still, I cannot imagine being a player at this stage, right? Especially one of the younger ones that really just got here and are like, wait, I thought I had like 2-3 years still left in the tank. What's going on?
Yeah, that's... I feel like if you're... There's a couple players that I can think of off the top of my head that were kind of like born into this esport. They were really interested in it from like a young age and kind of like had that dream of like getting here being the league. That doesn't exist anymore. And it's now, I feel like those are the most jaded kids because like they've watched their dream just kind of like crumble. Yeah. So I feel like they've already been checked out. Like they're like, yeah, nah, screw this. Like, this is dumb. This is stupid. Like, I feel like they're, if anybody was the most jaded group or like subsect of people, I feel like it is like the Sugar Freeze, the Rhinos, like these kids who like have had their... either who have had very limited opportunity or almost have had no opportunity to kind of like chase after something that they've like had, you know, to see the carrot and try to get it off the stick, you know, like it's only been spray painted and spruced up and then they've gotten the carrot and they've turned it around and it's moldy and full of garbage.
Yeah. And then you don't know where it's leading, but like we know they are children of Apex, right? We know there are, for fact, actually, that they are Overwatch League champions, especially in the last couple of seasons. They were motivated to get here by watching the Roger Hongs, the Eskas, the who are yous of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a generation that has the same moment and the same feelings towards Prophet, towards Birdring, towards Jonak, right?
Yep.
And they dreamt a dream of the Overwatch League.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of them got here. Maybe some of them are just standing in front of the gates while the castle is being torn down.
Yeah.
And you just hope there is at least something fun in the ruins for them to still enjoy, right?
Yeah.
And I heard some through the grapevines projections that people saying out loud. I'm interested in how they are puzzling these things together. I will refrain at this point from making any I feel like I sounded a little pessimistic. You got to understand, like, the way this was set up initially, we had a 110k average salary at some point.
Yeah.
With housing, with guaranteed contracts, with healthcare.
Yeah.
In a league that largely was pretty player friendly and would let you move on if you wanted to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
You're not gaining a comparable ecosystem.
No.
Not anytime soon, and not unless there's a virtual miracle happening, right? That is gone. Now, could there be something that rivals what the league eventually became? Maybe also not immediately, but
definitely
at least in terms of the stability. No, I'm not talking about the end product. I won't make a statement there.
Sure.
But like the likelihood of the stability of those player lives having any resemblance to what it was is slim to none in the short term. And that is the first thing I felt crushing down on me when I initially heard this was going to happen, when I heard the initiation of the votes, when I heard initial takes on how people tended to vote. It's what I thought when people were being released. And now that it's final, it's still all I'm thinking about. And I hope that there will be a soft fall for these guys. Because I think, like, it's really... It shouldn't be too hard to empathize with these people, even though they are extraordinary in their ability to focus on something that really, on the surface, has limited transitional property towards the success they're going to have in life, right? I'm not saying there's none. I'm saying maybe it's also not being recognized to the degree that it helps you.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. But,
and there are individuals that lived this game for 10 to 14 hours for years, and now the carrot is gone. And that's I'm sure they're doing it for the love of the game as well, and they're going to compete wherever that is, but it still feels really rough for
100%,
especially the young crowd, especially for the young champions, and no matter what happens, I did a video with GG Recon. It was unfortunate timing that was recorded before I had heard about the results of the vote. It's also, by the way, like, Toronto Defiant didn't wait long to announce this. It was, I think, a couple of... It was... You would talk about hours, not days.
Sure.
Which is something that is expected from a company that's publicly traded. So I assume...
Yeah, it has been.
Especially given, like, how that went with the loan for... Or with the... forgiveness of the outstanding franchise fees, how quickly they were there. I think Blizzard was fully prepared that this Toronto Defiant would be the ones going forward as well with this, right?
Right.
It's it's really, yeah, it's a weird time. I think what I admire about a lot of these players is they still seem to be hopeful, and they still a lot of them still want to be able to do it. Of course, a lot of them also have real life. It's been a long day. I did a video with GG Recon on the future of the Overwatch League. The future of the competitive system.
Mm.
And the overhaul that will inevitably follow from this. Right? Like, we're building a new fundamental experience, and I argue we'll tear that shit down. Bill, we got to start from scratch.
I mean, there's never been a better time to.
And just as an elevator explanation, some choices are being forced upon us, right? We have six game modes. We have five maps. How do you draw? Some argue just shove two map types into one choice, and you can pick from that pool because the map types only have so many map picks anyway, and we can do it like it was prior with a set rule set. I think that's a wasted opportunity. I want more agency to be given to competitors and just get away with the weird map archetypes order being set, right?
Yep.
Number one. Hero bans have to be adjusted towards what kind of competitive ecosystem and format we are getting and what kind of gameplay expressions we will likely see from that, but it should be on the table.
Right.
Like, as soon as we see that there's a rigid meta forming again, based on balance, based on the competitor's ecosystem, based on a lack of quality practice and everyone just holding on to the thing that they know, you roll that shit out and at least try. First and foremost, what you got to do is two things, though. The first thing is you got to put players first.
Yep.
And the second, player storytelling first. And the second thing is you got to find an algorithm in order to find out how this game wants to be broadcast. And the algorithm is competition by several different teams that are really thinking hard about this and competing against each other in order to come up with the best competitive format, right? You fund them in some way, and you more than anything, you give them creative freedom to do so. That shit should have happened before the Overwatch League. We never, because there was a lack of competition in order to find out how this game wants to be broadcast, and any competition that it had was absolutely like helicopter parented from above, giving stringent ideas based on, not on empiricism, but only on whatever you thought was going to work, while you actively have no idea how a competitive ecosystem works, and it's still a staggering degree to which degree Team 4 does not understand the competitive scene and will absolutely ignore the pro player base and not talk to them. You got to find a better system. You just got to let go of whatever system is running there. You got to let competitors figure it out. You got to let the market dictate what kind of innovation the broadcast wants to have. You want your game to speak for itself how it wants to be broadcast. You want to look at what the audience vibes with. It is possible that this comes up with a system that's much more like broadcasting BRs, where we are following individual players during competition. It's possible that voice is active. It's possible that casters will have to adjust. It's possible that we're primarily going to follow co-streamers. It's all a possibility, right? And maybe that's not true. Maybe people want the big arena casters and as well in that experience, right? But everything has to be on the table, right? Yeah, like, there's no reason to keep such a stranglehold, creative stranglehold more so than anything, at this point on this. Especially because just, like, how much... The only empiricism and empirical data that we have is that whatever values or ideas Blizzard Entertainment has about running their active esports leagues is not fit for the market. That is a very clear...
That's always been true. 100%. Every single esport that they've had, they've effectively run into the ground. No,
that's the on the nose framing that a lot of people will use. I don't want to be too harsh. What I want to say is just look at the empirical success. Blizzard Entertainment has pushed esports just by making good games. Yeah. But not much more so.
Nope. literally probably took a couple steps back.
Look,
you want to talk about on the nose,
The reason
no better news.
Blizzard Entertainment with StarCraft 2 pushed esports to a next level is not because of their involvement. It's because they were hands off and were giving into the GSLs and whatnot.
Yes.
And the MLGs and the types of storytellers that could create these larger than life personalities, like an Idra, like a Huck, right? That could really grab the hearts of folks. And we just need this. And I think it would also be a major mistake to lock down to just single event organizers and not give out any other tournament licenses across the scene as well. You just, sure. Like, yes, you probably would have a more seasoned developer. Tournament organizer. Now, of course, there's also not that much competition anymore. But there's some. There's some.
Mm-hmm.
There are folks that also have been around in the scene. I'm thinking of the Monkey Bubbles, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, WDG, if they were going to continue running in Asia, that would be interesting. But also open it up to other companies, that production companies that are potentially there, right? But once again, like, this is me talking with zero like idea what's going on in that regard. I just want this to happen. I think this is the best way to open it up and let good ideas prevail, and for folks to learn from each other. And as we run this iterative process of trial and error across multiple competent actors, the viewers will decide what they like, and we will find out for once what this scene likes. What the scene probably does not like to the degree that it was thought was localized esports broadcasters about Overwatch League in a regular season tournament format with limited offline events and stale metas. Okay, that's not what it wants. There's a hardcore community.
I think
that
we can say, we can say for sure that is like definitely something that we don't like. I think that's been pretty loud and clear from the last couple years. Is that whatever comes next, systems wise, has to be more thought out to try to solve for the inherent issues that this game provides. And I say inherent with 6 years of experience and seeing metas become very slow to trek out of, right? It happens. It's too slow for this viewer base. You need a system to lubricate that and facilitate getting out of that mud.
And they tried with hero ban pools, but you have to do it in an organic way that vibes with a competitive... with a competitive spirit, and not everyone will love it either. Like when we ran that panel, I understand as well. Like Junkbuck's point was like, that's not the Overwatch I like, you know. And I agree to a large degree. We just gotta wake up to the reality that nobody wants to see a season of Goats, and nobody wants to see a season of Winston Sombra.
Yep.
Right. So, optimize for something that folks want, I suppose. And if you can do that, like, then also give the agency, like, you want to have the canvas, but give the pencil to the actual players or teams to draw, right? Don't fucking make it like by numbers, you know. Don't draw the fucking owl. Like,
That's such a good analogy, that Overwatch for a long time has really just been paint by numbers. And I think in the next year or two, and this is like very hastily drawn up predictions, we're going to have that changed, and I think that's going to be a very difficult thing for Blizzard to do. Is that crazy to say?
I don't know. I have no idea what this developer is internally thinking. What I will say is, and we'll get to talk about it, I guess, a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's some folks on the front office development team that I like. Mainly Jarrett is, I think, someone that whenever I heard him talk, he was pretty no bullshit. And that's a guy that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But it's also like some signaling towards a more hardcore experience that Overwatch wants to trend towards to, right?
Maybe.
Like, what? Okay, here's, maybe I'm over-interpreting this, Joe.
Okay.
Tell me if the tea leaves are a little bit too overread. But you know who said Golden Guns were a mistake?
Jeff,
right? Like, Golden Guns were a mistake. We would never do them again.
And the context there is that because he was very much like orally opposed to the idea of like rewarding, like,
it's just like you should play for the sake of playing, right, and the sake of getting better. And that's a very noble thing, but I'm sorry.
It just doesn't vibe
in
today's.
I'm a dopamine-starved millennial, and it's worse for the Gen Zs, okay?
100%, yeah.
So we have Emerald Reppens coming in.
Yeah, Eric kind of clued me in. Why or what?
What's different about it? It's just like it's a fuck you to the what's that idea or ideology almost, right?
I mean, I guess
we're never going to have gold, something like golden weapons, and now you're going in hardcore and say that shit's emerald. Come on, like, to me that communicates something.
It definitely communicates something. What it communicates is a little bit, that's where I'm like, I don't know if the tea is ripe just yet. Like, is it a galvanization of that previous idea or that previous like philosophy from like the other half of Team 4 that wasn't, you know, Team Jeff? Is it that? I don't know.
I don't know if it's galvanization, but it's more, that's ours now. We're taking, like, maybe also what I felt a little bit is like that PvE thing. Nah. Right? That, like, that's not our vision anymore as well. The guys that are currently driving this train are about this being a PvP experience.
Yeah.
And they are open to the idea of it being a hardcore PvP experience. It's a little bit of the notion that I got, or at least that a little bit more sugar would be provided to those guys.
I mean, yes, I think if you really want to sway my opinion, and we will get, because there's a lot of like League future stuff we will get to, there's MAUGA news, Flash Ops is coming, we will get to all of that stuff. I think we're just on like a strong thread right now, and patron producers, don't forget, like, I'm still with you, trust and believe. However, I think if you really want to kind of sway my opinion on Overwatch becoming or moving in the direction of a hardcore experience, I think look no further than like any kind of competitive updates regarding how you rank. Am I crazy? I have not kept up with like ranked updates or competitive updates.
Wait,
in a minute.
Yeah, no, we got huge news about a new competitive
system. I've heard that there's new news for the system, and maybe you can kind of like synthesize that out, but the whole idea that you need to like rank, you need to like win 5 games, I think that's been something that you've rightly been very like against.
Yeah,
and I feel like that is so strictly not, quote unquote, big bunny ears for the audio listeners, hardcore, that it that kind True. Of like is a bigger hurdle for me to get over than Emerald Guns, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like there's an entire new overhaul. And okay, use like little spoiler on my content. I asked 4 individuals, former professionals, you gotta say now, but I'm calling them pros. I'm clickbaiting the shit out of this title. I will have you know, they will be called professionals, okay?
I mean, they still are, right?
Just unpaid.
I mean.
But yeah, like, about their feelings about Overwatch, about the announcement from BlizzCon, and a lot of them were positive. Even the ones you wouldn't expect. So,
yeah,
that's coming out probably, like, by the time you are listening to this, you should probably be able to see this at GG Recon.
Okay.
We'll see, but... Yeah.
Can I ask a unfair question just for my own sake? Is how many of them were like MMR reset pilled?
That wasn't. If I had to guess,
I'm so
a couple.
Over that.
Yeah. I mean that. I feel like whoever said that probably didn't understand the rank system very well. That was almost my impression.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Eric has the thread up, and the updated mega thread is that we are getting a new rank above Grandmaster. We're getting emerald weapons, new competitive currency, removed average match rank, and therefore now we have like wide margin, high margin matches, which is kind of an interesting idea. Then wide groups, major differences in rank between players, and narrow groups, smaller rank differences. Of course, like, this is just for the sake of...
That's like a framing thing, no?
It's just like a trade-off between quick and slow matchmaking, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
If you... Ideally, and for many ranks that will still work, is you get quick match quick narrow matchmaking. Okay.
Yeah.
So for many ranks that just works because there's enough players.
Yeah.
And then at the higher levels, it's always a challenge. Like if 15 people that are top 500 are queuing at a time, then only 10 of them can be in the match.
Of course, yeah.
So what do the rest do? Sit on their ass for whatever long it takes for the others to finish the match. Now, it's a little bit more complicated even because people are queuing for specific roles. So that elongates the queue further.
Even further.
And you can imagine. Yep. So what can you do? Maybe you're not just limiting the pool to grandmasters. You're reaching further down. You're looking at, you know, masters or whatever. And that's in the wider ranges, right?
So am I wrong in kind of...
That already happened, by the way. Like has always
right.
Happened.
This is everything that you're saying. It sounds like it already is happening because I don't know how many times I see threads of like people being like, "Oh my god, I'm fucking diamond in a GM game. What the fuck?" And it's just the algorithm and the matchmaking trying to make a match when there isn't just enough people, which obviously has to happen because you need people to play the game, or they're gonna get pissed because they can't get into a game, right? Like. This is stuff that happens.
That specific thread could also very well be that they do not understand how MMR and actual visual rank works, right? Which is, it's absolutely totally possible that someone is plat rank, but has
the crazy juiced MMR because they're a fucking smurf, right? Or they're just really, really good, right? Like that's going to happen.
Plat is maybe a little bit low because if you, probably not.
That's where I hear smurf, and it's like, you could probably be plat and have like a fucking GM MMR, 100%.
Yeah, could be the case, yeah.
So is this a new way to queue in comp where it's like, I want to play comp in a big match range, or I want to play comp in a small match range?
No. It's just like a display, right? Eric, am I wrong? Do you?
No, I think you're fine.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just a display of like, I've queued into a game and it has a wide match range or it has a small match range.
Yeah. And it will be shown in terms of like when you.
Yeah. To me, that just is like a framing thing because it's just always kind of been that way.
Yeah, but people are confused how this works. They look at ranks. They're like, why the fuck? I'm diamonds. There's a gold guy in here. Is that because this guy has high MMR and he's smurfing on my ass? Or is it because the wide match range has actually happened and we are now inviting lower MMR players into our game in order to matchmake more effectively so we don't have to sit on our ass for 45 minutes?
I'd be very impressed if that is the, and maybe this is unfair of me to my fellow person, But I just don't see people like getting any less confused, if that makes sense. I feel like they have something to look at now and say, well, okay, but why is it so, why is the match range so big? Why can't we just have smaller? Like, I hear the same arguments being like thrown around, and they just have like a different language now. That's where I'm just stuck on like the framing of this. It's just like, okay, like it's a framing shift. We're just looking at it a little differently.
Yeah, what can you do? Like, you.
No, I know. That's my thing. It's just like there's not much for Blizzard to do, and they're trying to tackle a problem that is like so difficult because at the crux of it, it's just people not understanding how like the game as a company is going to work versus like the demands of like players trying to get like competitive and close games. Like those two things ideally are like cohesive, but more often than not it's actually kind of harder to do, especially at like scale.
The thing is like, you gotta just call it out. Like, like some of those takes you see, especially from high rank players, it's just, you know, yeah. these kids have been picked up from the streets of flat earthing and applying the same logic here. Like some fucking sure. conspiracy bullshit that they're interpreting into matchmaking.
See, I don't think it's just high rated players. I think this goes like,
oh, of course.
I think synthesized out to the majority of people.
Yeah, like this is also
we're getting like Nintendo power. I need to beat Professor Oak 100 times and then like do a certain like button combination to get like good rated games. You know what I mean? Like it's really getting to that point where it's just like, oh, I think it's because everything is like up for grabs. It's like, oh, it's performance based. Oh, it's this, that, the other thing. It's just this like mystery to the average player that you have to like do certain things to get like close games.
Yeah.
You got to win fast to get closer games because then the algorithm knows that you're a good player and they're going to put you up with good players. You know, that type of shit.
Look, unpopular opinion maybe, but I don't give a fuck about close or narrow matchmaking. I don't give a fuck about Smurfs. What I give a fuck about is playing with people that are cooperative and want to
100%.
Communicate either per pings or they're just receptive. And I want to be selected into groups that are communicative in any regard and willing to play together. Anything else, Smurf on my ass, I'll learn quicker that way. Like, put a Smurf on my team, I take the free MMR and like be happy about my points. Whatever you do, like, I just don't want to have people that throw my games, right? And they're inherently 100%. Uncompetitive. That's virtually the only thing I care about in a competitive system.
I hate to always just bring up Big Brother Riot, but I do think that their system of, and it's something that, you know, StarCraft did a while ago, the automated tournament, you know, function where, like, you have that, like, that's the ideal like system, is that you have people willing to band together to compete, have those like communicative games where everybody's kind of like actually trying to play the game the way that it was kind of meant to be played, not just like one tricking something or throwing your game or just, you know, smurfing or whatever. But I think like the rewards just need to be more, you know, player friendly, where like you are really like this, there is a push. You are dumb not to be playing on this weekend. You know, have some scarcity bullshit in there where, you know, oh, next weekend's going to be Clash. Going to use like a League of Legends term. Like, you can get some really dope rewards for doing well or just competing in it. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you go and find five friends to play the game, right? Like, that is a draw to play the game. And I think that is a transformative experience for Overwatch. Am I wrong in saying that? Like playing with five people that are talking, that are like alt tracking, that are actually trying to play the game. It is a refreshing experience.
Dude, I swear you can probably find a thread from my old Reddit account from 2015 where I posted on the official Overwatch subreddit that now people who have beta, if they are laying the ground rules of communicating in games and making that the culture of the game, constantly talking to folks and coordinating. We didn't have a ping system back then. Fair enough. And I think it's also fair to say that I totally understand that some people do not want to use voice, and for good reason.
Sure, yeah, 100%.
But, like, for everyone who feels comfortable, they should be using that tool all the time. feel like what has happened is there has been a slow creep, like the basically inversely correlated with rank. Like the higher you went, the more people chatted. I felt like for a while in like in early Overwatch, I felt like I always had people talking. And then it like then plat was like the cutoff, then diamond, then it was masters, and like now you even hear like top 500 rally talks unless the people know each other. And it's sad. Like it's like that, yes, the ping system has helped a lot, but it also took away a lot of the flavor. And I get it, especially from the folks that will get shit as soon as they talk and as soon as they like make available their linguistic profile because they are shitheads and they ruin everything. But it's still sad. Like, I still would love to have just a much more open experience. I think, like, for instance, Counter-Strike, interestingly, it always kind of worked. Yes, like, you, of course, like, with European gaming, there comes always some toxicity. Dude, as long as this guy is not standing in my op shot on purpose or is trolling me, throwing mollies on me, like, I don't give a shit if he curses me out in Russian, right?
Yeah, that's a cultural thing that's just different, I think, here, that people just get... I think myself included, like, it definitely, like, tilts you. And by tilt, I just mean, like, it affects your game. Hmm. Like, it changes the dynamic. And not to get, like, caught up on that, but I do think that is a little bit more cultural. There's some deep cultural roots that makes that more palatable for Europeans, and for... I can only speak for Americans, I think it's just not.
For a while, like, NA queues were more fun, though. Like, there was definitely a time where it felt like Americans were more trolling each other a little bit more. While, like, European stuff was always so serious. I don't know, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I don't know. That completely derails on a little bit. But yeah, like, I feel like that's... It's really hard. It also, like, it feels like League of Legends has now capitulated towards the toxicity and it's just there. And once again, I don't even really... And I don't mind if you mind, but I don't give a shit if someone...
Sure, yeah, that's your opinion. You just don't care.
Like, if you're being, like, a toxic asset, especially to minorities, I will say something. I'm sure there are records of me just completely popping off. I remember one event where I... Not me being the asshole, but, like, some people... just going off on a woman, I think, and and then I got the guy in the next game again, and I just completely lost it. so yeah, like that happens, but like in general, I think the gameplay is the toxic aspect, and that's also something that disproportionately affects marginalized groups. And that, like, as soon as they give up their identity or linguistic profile, there will be assets that will just play worse, and it will absolutely affect their rank, and they will absolutely troll your game, and they will absolutely, like, get you in the next game and do the very same thing, and they will, like, as much as they will care about winning and whatever in all other contexts, they won't in that, right? In those situations. So, yeah, fuck them. Hard ban them. Put them in a queue that they play each other. ID ban them for all I care. But I feel like that's really the thing that ruins my matchmaking. Not necessarily stomps. I think, like, one-sided matches, yeah, that's like a second-order thing that I'd rather have close matches, I suppose. But I personally was never someone that really hated getting stomped too heavily unless someone is toxic and shit-talks to me. I have this thing, like, when someone shit-talks to me and then they also beat me, ooh, that's bad. Especially if they're really... being really bad about this. But yeah, I think, like, generally, like, the fact that they have put so much brain juice in this is once again another tell where I'm thinking, like, yeah, they care. They care more than whatever folks were in charge
whatever we
prior.
Did have. Yeah. Yeah. 100% they do. It's still, like, a work in progress for me to believe that this is more, that we're trending in a more hardcore experience. I think if this was a switch for you to flip, and not to, you know, to kind of, like, tie up the whole, like, ranked competitive update discussion from BlizzCon, if this was, like, the golden, like, $1 million ticket solution of I want to queue for a quick play competitive game where, like, I'm just getting in and I have a wide MMR match, you know, range. Or I would like to bite the bullet so that I get closer games and spend longer times in queue. If you have more agency, I really do think that gives players a little bit more freedom on what their competitive experience is like. But the fact that this is just a framing discussion, I don't know. I really don't see this doing much.
I feel like people think they want the choice, and then in the end, they would just all choose this short queues and be pissed anyway. I think.
I mean, yeah, probably. It is a conundrum because I agree that eventually everybody just plays the short queues because they just want to play the game. But I do think that there are people at scale in terms of MMR that do just want to play with good players. You know, like The people who want to improve there will be a smaller section of those players that choose the longer queue time game, but a closer MMR distribution than the quick play Andes that just want to get in and play comp and just, you know, speed run, which is fine. I think either is valid, but giving people that choice, I do think provides some agency. I really don't think this is a framing thing, and I don't think it's ever going to be, because this is a multi-game thing. Every game at scale has this issue where, like, high rated players are stuck in games, or they get paired up with people that are like way too, they really shouldn't be in the lobby.
Yeah.
And it's an issue the nth level where the business and the community just can't, it is that twisting snake just does not connect again. Like, sure. That is an issue that is just inherent.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get fixed. Even my solution isn't, like you said, it's not ideal because people will still just want to play the game, right?
Yeah.
It's the difficulty. But what doesn't need an IP ban, who doesn't need a hardware reset, are our patron producers. I'm sorry, we've gotten a little off topic.
42.
Yeah, literally almost an hour in. And we have to thank you guys. You guys make this show possible. Thank you for your continued support for 321 episodes. And that thank you goes to Battle Crab, Refund, Bean, Bronze, Babu, Hal, Picasso, Lotion, Pork Tab, Sammy, Rex, St. Vola, Melon, Sugar High, and our YouTube members, Blave, Bliss, IMDRW, Brother, Adam L, Ice, M, Jello, Fire, Element 6, and AK. Thank you so much. And if you can't support the show monetarily, download it, leave a comment, all that good shit. BlizzCon.
Yes.
A lot of news. We did get the competitive update. MMR reset. If you enjoy that, please dent your own head. But we did get hero stuff.
Yeah.
We did get hero stuff. Malga. Initial thoughts, because I am a little... I have opinions.
Also a thing I asked players, also one content cock me, so that's also going to be in the thing. Personally,
do you want me to give you my take and you can tell me where I'm hot or cold?
Sure.
Okay. I think he's useless.
And you know, what do you want me to do?
Am I hot or cold on the opinions of pro players?
Yeah,
I think he's fun. Like, I think he's like super fun, and I think he'll be a fun time in like ranked on the ladder. But like, there is nothing here that like makes me interested in the slightest.
Yeah, I feel that. Honestly, for the fact how long this guy was teased, I'm just going to talk about character design. He's not that fun. It's not that interesting to me. I thought like he looked a little bit darker in the ways he was teased, no? Is that a mystery? He looked a little bit more aggressive, more ferocious. And now he's just like a cheeky, happy guy?
Oh, okay. So you're saying from like the teaser, he's just a little too like jovial for like the...
Like, I feel like over the years, we got so many little... You know, Morgan is, and like, he's not what I thought he would be based on those. But maybe I misinterpreted. I don't know. I haven't
actually seen the teaser, to be fair. No,
the teasers over the years, you know, the things that
No. I see what you're saying. Yeah. But like, from the like origin story video and the gameplay, like, what I'm hearing is that the new development videos that we've gotten after his release just don't necessarily line up with what was necessarily kind of like portrayed in those teases in the past from like Baptiste's backstory and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I would probably agree. I think they're a little too like cartoony and funny, and that's kind of another thing that like Overwatch is, not to open another can of worms, we still don't know what we want to be. Are we gritty and we're tackling, like, if you go back and look at like the Sigma trailer or the teaser, that he was like this like crazed scientist, and it was kind of dark and it was a little like spooky, and then he's just like toes.
Yeah,
that's it, you know. There's such a tonal shift from like really gritty hardcore stuff to like he's just a jovial Samoan guy and he has two chain guns.
I feel like as soon as you introduce the idea of skins, like especially the ones that we have with like fucking unicorns and shit, like that shit is just out of the window anyway. Like, you're just, I'm sorry, like, okay, I have some really bad, but like, I don't know, like,
but isn't that kind of the fun, that like that I think is fine tonal shift, and this is far too in the weeds. If you like shit like this, please let us know, because I feel like I try to stifle this as much as I can to try and get on topic, but if you do like this stuff, let us know. Yeah, I think like skins are like a fine tonal shift, because it's like fun to poke at and play with a hero that like you shouldn't have Urgot dressed up as a magical girl, you know what I mean? You shouldn't have Mauga in like a unicorn.
Like, that just, it's like, again, like League works as a storytelling in Arcane. I didn't think it would work, but
yeah,
because it's so far removed from the experience of the game. But
yes,
like that's not true for Overwatch, because it is a first person experience, and it is the graphics are reasonably what you would expect from any kind of media to come out, and the cinematic trailers as well, right? So
yeah.
It just directly translates. Like, I'm, yeah, like, especially like the Sigma stuff is just like, yeah, okay, that's just, I'm sorry. Like, the problem is, my brain is currently completely
apologizing
because I only have references that are way too edgy to say out loud. Okay,
yes, like 100%. He's apologizing for the thoughts that are getting caught by the filter that he just cannot say.
It's insane. Like, and I'm like, brain, let it go. Okay, next one. Oh fuck, this is worse. Like,
100%. That being said, Mauga feels like a production of the increased development cycle to me, where I think they've had a really hard time in the past developing tanks. I think Sigma and Wrecking Ball in particular probably benefited the most. Ramattra, to some degree, probably was the one that they got right, but I feel like tanks are going to be really difficult for them to develop with the demand for increased tempo and hero development. And I think Mauga is kind of that first like a gamble. I feel like tanks are always going to be a gamble from here on out, especially if we see them ever increase development speed. Tanks are, you don't expect much from a tank, because it is really difficult to get a novel experience from a tank that also works in the framework of Overwatch. Does that make sense? Where it's like you look at Mauga and it's like, you are a, like, and we kind of talked about this pre-show, like, you're a Roadhog, like, you're an effective, like, thick DPS.
Yeah. I don't disagree, yeah.
It's really hard to get right. And that's not a critique, that's just, like, a fact of the matter.
Do you think there's theoretically a, like, just, like, you don't have to say anything definitive, just, like, a feeling. Do you think there is a tank design that you could push that would bring about a new archetype of comp?
A new archetype? Probably.
Because we're having some kind of trifecta, right? Dive.
Yeah, I would say
rush.
That like poke, dive, rush, in some sense, like you can relabel those however you want, but like I think that we have kind of settled into a triangle. And I think it's really difficult to even speculate on what something else could be that isn't just like a reframing but slightly different. You know what I mean?
It's sort of like coming up with the fourth piece in Rock, Paper, Scissors, right?
Pretty
like how
much.
Would that shit even work?
Yeah, you're looking at like you're getting into the realm of like a tank that like somehow not only just manipulates terrain, but creates passable terrain where it would have been impassable previously. And that like facilitates this new style of playing the game. I feel like that's the only like new thing that they could do that isn't just like barrier, but like different. I still think that Mei should be a tank personally, or like the design philosophy around Mei should be just incorporated into a tank where you have like a character that can manipulate the terrain. And that is your quote unquote big bunny ears here for the audio listeners. That's your barrier, is the terrain manipulation, right? It just is a barrier in all regards. Mei's wall is just a barrier that you're summoning, but it's textured and has collision and interacts with objects. And I think it would work. Is it fun? Is it novel? Probably not, but there's other ways of creating a novel experience. But is it going to facilitate something that is going to work within Overwatch, that is going to be like readily, you know, like plug and play into like that triangle? Yeah, 100%. Mauga, unfortunately, just isn't that. It really isn't that. And if anything, I think what is the ability called? Not overrun. It's cardiac overdrive. We're coming into a game that is immediately trying to nerf supports in the healing, and we're creating a tank that buffs the inherent healing that everybody can do for themselves. Numbers on that could get a little tricky to get right. Because if it's too good, then it's too good not to play. And if it's too bad, then Mauga just gets canned. Yeah. Every meta, and it never gets played. So he's coming. Again, I think the analogy to Roadhog was pretty apt, where it's like either it's too good or it's too bad, and there's no middle ground. And maybe that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
But yeah, that's thoughts with Mauga. Pretty fun. Excited to kind of see how it plays. Excited to see where it goes with it. I think it is going to be really, really fun to play, but is it going to be successful? Probably not, would be my guess.
And to be fair, it's also completely fine to have a fun hero. I don't mind.
You need those.
Look, like, the concept of Mercy or the concept of Yuumi is fun and a good thing to have a game have. It just can never be meta. Okay.
Yeah, it can't be good.
It can be good. It just can never be top level good.
Sure, that's what I say. When I mean good, I mean like it is something that like
play, it should never be like. It can be for like niche comps and like, but universally, nah, fuck that, right?
Yeah. It should never be a rigid meta set.
Right. Yeah.
Agreed there. So. BlizzCon, Mauga, there are apparently two new heroes. We're not necessarily going to get into those weeds, but apparently Blizzard has teased that they're ready to kind of showcase two of the newer heroes coming in next year, which I thought was pretty dope. And one of them either turns into rocks or digs underground. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, okay. Let me really talk about the meta of like announcing that or talking about it. I don't like that. Like I get,
really? Okay.
I get like you gotta juice it up a little bit for BlizzCon, right? And you want to have as much content as possible. Also, kind of tells me that you felt like you didn't have enough.
Nothing, because that's the fact. That's the truth. They didn't.
But you're now just stealing hype from the future, and unless there's something like you're increasing the pogs per minute that your development is putting out, you're going to feel it in the future. Like the hero release of Venture will just not hit as hard as it could have if you didn't announce it, right?
Yep.
And
God forbid you ever want to make a change that's like fundamental to the character.
I mean,
and
I
would expect that probably isn't the case, you know what I mean? But God forbid that happen and you've already teased like what their character kind of looks like and what their kit kind of like operates like. And
look, I agree with you that it would get people riled up. I also think these people need to grow up. Like,
sure.
I wouldn't mind too much. In terms of what I saw about the character, it's like a novel. It's like an old concept of several heroes just baked into like a new wrapper.
Yeah.
With a digging. I feel like it's not that much fundamentally different than other movement mechanics.
Yeah, it's just Wraithwalk, just with a startup.
Pretty much.
That's all.
So, I actually hope they make them more fun. Like maybe the ultimate will in the end be super pog, but yeah, I can't see it ever taking over games or whatever. I don't know.
Hard to tell, especially with like the details of like how the abilities work, what they do. Yeah. It looks pretty simple, but there again, it's still a pretty early, gameplay tease. So we will see. It is very interesting. It is a choice that they're teasing how the characters look, especially like you said. Some of the fun of new Overwatch heroes is like how Illari was teased, where it's just like, oh shit, new hero, what's this look like? Let's analyze the footage. Let's go frame by frame. What do they look like? What are they, like the fact that it is kind of like teased out like by a couple months, it is a little, it's a little nose in spite of the face type of feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you could have just released like the art, and then you see the drill, and then people can put sure. pieces together. I think that would have could.
I would say
actually...
bits and pieces of the art. I think even the decision to like showcase even what like the concept art of the characters look like prior to like confirming that that's what they're going to look like, is a bit of a
look. It's
a
also,
lower pogs per minute.
I thought as soon as they released or announced that those were going to be the next characters, I felt like we were in for an announcement of them increasing the amount of heroes.
Sure, players. Yeah, 100%. They're going to start churning them out.
But
yeah.
Then they said, no, that's not going to be the case. This is just what's in store for 2024. And I'm like, I don't like this.
Mistake.
Yeah. Yeah,
big mistake.
I'm not too happy about that. I think like... unless there's really something cooking to... Which I would say, why would you
not tease that?
Yeah, not tease that.
Yeah.
And maybe
no. I think your raid was right. I think they just thought they didn't have a lot, so they had to like pull emergency.
It's possible, or like maybe they actually agree with our assessment and they have some bangers, but they don't want to take the hype off those. And that's maybe. Low probability, but it's the steel man of that decision here. But yeah. I think, we're getting new content.
Right? New content is good. Everybody loves a new toy. That's one thing that, if we want to talk about what the viewership and what the consumer wants, we know damn well they want a new hero and they don't want new maps. We can definitively say that with high degree of certainty.
Yeah.
Another thing that we do want is some competition. We did just have probably... one of the closest competitive tournaments in recent memory, that being the 2023 World Cup. Did you happen to catch any of the World Cup, Yiska? Prove me wrong.
I caught the final.
Caught the final, okay. Better than what I thought. Initial takeaways.
Do KZ play really good? You can't hate. Yeah. Like, that's not a fluke. Win.
No. Nope.
They had really solid fundamentals. Actually, I will say China fumbled it a little. You probably would have to say that based on the performance. Are you still there? No.
I'm here. I'm just my internet cut out, that's all.
Based. But yeah, like I think generally speaking, I think like I caught the Korea China as well, but not like super actively. Finland's against Korea is also really surprising score, even though I'm not sure how much they cared at the end of, there, Koreans. So yeah, I'm happy. The viewership was really solid. Pro streams popped off.
Yep.
It's not my cup of tea, but I'm all right. Like if there had been a possibility to interview, I would have. I'd be down to like contribute to the WhatsApp system. It's just not my cup of tea that I would watch in my free time.
Yeah, I think you've always been pretty like anti World Cup, and to a degree, it is mostly an entertainment product for me. This isn't like the pinnacle of competition. But the fact that it was actually pretty competitive outside of the quarters was a pleasant treat. Yeah. That both semifinals were game fives. Grand finals was a reverse sweep game five situation. Like, third, fourth place match was actually quite good. Credit to Finland for that new Queen Street fucking pulled. I think there's a lot of plays in Overwatch that kind of get swept under the radar for like the big flashy ult plays. But the fact that you could like definitively say that Finland had a read on what Korea was attempting to do with like the hiding the Mei Blizzard from behind play, you know, flipped a coin, hit heads and found the Mei and killed them before they could ice block and Blizzard was a nail in the coffin for Korea. It was a genuinely incredible game. Did see it live, thankfully enough. And if you heard "Let's go Finland," what was it? What did we cheer? We're doing some of the cheers. So if you heard that on broadcast, shout out to us. Yeah, no, super, super dope. Great games. I didn't stay for the final because I don't know if everybody else understands this. And I kind of was doubting Kenobi when he was trying to explain this to me, because I think he was there most of the day. Team China fans are everywhere. If China is playing, it triples capacity. I'm not kidding. I was like, yeah, okay, like I was, because I came in during, I think towards the end of Finland Saudi Arabia on Sunday or Saturday, whatever the fuck day it is, and I sit down and I'm like, oh wow, like I'm actually kind of surprised that it's you know at capacity pretty much, like there's not a lot of like dead seating. And he turns to me and he's like, oh, you should see Team China. They travel really well. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but like, I'm sure they do, but whatever. Like, it's only like two bleachers. And he's like, no, they, it's like kind of absurd. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe you. And then we get to like the end of the third, fourth place match. And security is like unironically, like having to like shift their protocol because of how densely populated things were. Like they were having to like kick people out because they were like incessantly like trying to like sit in like fire escape areas. Right. And like, it was a mess. And it,
did you explain to the people that it attended that you're contenders, China analyst from 2019?
I'm just so, no, not at all. No.
That's what.
No, I didn't. I quite literally
claimed your spot on the throne. Okay.
I gave that life up long ago, my friend.
Was it 2019? When was it again?
18. I did a year in 18, and that was or a season, not even a year. I did a season in 18. I was like, this is not for me. I actually don't like this. And gave that up. So nice. Yeah, no, did not pull my Team China card at all. And yeah, no, it was a good event. I was, you know, pleasantly surprised that they kept some of the production value. I think they tried to accommodate for the arena, which is something that I don't think a lot of people realize, is that, yeah, guys, like we're not going to be in the Overwatch arena. We're going to be in a soundstage somewhere. Like it was a little different, but it was also still like they tried to, I don't know if this was like appropriately like shown on broadcast. But they tried to keep the 360 fan attendance. They tried to have like the stage look the same. A lot of that stuff was still kept. So I was happy to see that. But yeah, no, World Cup was dope. Credit to the players from Saudi Arabia doing incredibly well. It was exactly what I kind of was worried about with China and Korea. The two dive teams playing against that Sigma style, it was going to be a battle of styles, and one of them was just gonna outpace the other. And as much as there's a certain famous coach that says that dive is perfect Overwatch, that's a difficult Overwatch to play. You know what's not so hard? Hitting a rock and killing that target. You know what I mean? Like there is a fundamental like just ease of execution that I think the players from Saudi Arabia really executed on. And China just couldn't keep up. It's tough to operate when your tanks are just dead or your supports just get kind of like shot in the head. Like it's tough. So credit to them. They fucking did a bang up job and went on a miracle run. And yeah, no, just really, really dope story. Credit to him.
Talk to me. How was... Okay, two things. How was BlizzCon generally? And then were you there for the Canada thing?
Didn't go. I have no idea what went on.
Wait,
is this
did,
in real...
Okay, what? You didn't go?
So the story of my BlizzCon experience was I was going there to like hang out with people, but then somebody couldn't make the final day, so they just gave me their badge, and I like showed up for like a game, and then I left.
Oh, okay.
So like I wasn't there for BlizzCon, but I was in town for BlizzCon, if that makes sense.
But you were in the arena, right? Like,
yeah. I was in the convention center. I had a badge for a moment, and that was it.
Okay.
So yeah, I you know, it was BlizzCon. It was packed. It was full of people. That was fun. Nothing coming up to this was like super interesting from like Blizzard news perspective. I didn't catch the opening ceremony. Kind of didn't care this year. A lot of that stuff was kind of just sleeper. Seemed like a holdover year. I know that like Phil Spencer was out there with Microsoft and whatnot, but no, I have no idea what you're speaking about when it comes to Canada. Is this in relation to the production being a little delayed because they expected it to be a 3-0? Is that?
Yeah, like they scheduled in a way that they thought Canada was going to, according to Super, going to get stomped. Then they won a map, and therefore they couldn't broadcast the last map, and they took the entire broadcast,
yes,
including
yes.
in the okay. arena, off the last map, and yeah. showed the ceremony instead, right?
Yes. That is typical of BlizzCon in the past, where they usually, if I'm remembering this correctly, and folks in the comments can correct me if I'm wrong, but for live attendees, you really don't have activities until after opening ceremonies is done, because it is played in every hall. So the convention center is developed or divvied up into like different halls where like, this is where like WoW Arena is going to be played, and this is where StarCraft is going to be played. Obviously, that's not what happened this year, but like that's kind of the idea. You can find maps of BlizzCons in the past and kind of see this drawn out. But every hall has opening ceremonies being played. Like that's where attendees will go to sit. A lot of Overwatch fans would go to the arena because immediately after and preceding the opening ceremonies, that's when World Cup would start. The fact that they started prior to opening ceremonies and wanted to still try to make opening ceremonies convention wide, probably a mistake. But this is also probably to try to not have the players in the convention center all day long and most getting into the night. Not that that makes it okay, but yeah, it is kind of head ass. I remember, like, I think we were out to lunch and I was hearing people like kind of whisper about like, oh, like China USA isn't even being streamed because they're still doing the opening ceremonies. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of dumb. That's really, really silly. That is not smart. So whatever decision maker decided that is kind of dumb.
Yeah. I think that a lot of different ways you could handle this, but yeah, okay, fair enough. So you had fun then? Met a lot of comp?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see people. Yeah, it was chill. BlizzCon is forever just like a money trap for like a social outing. It's just like the excuse that everybody gives that you're gonna go and hang out at BlizzCon, and that's all you're really gonna do. There's really not, unless you're like a big Overwatch pilled or a big like Blizzard pilled, or like you desperately need to like see your team play at an event, or you want to see a final for something, or you want to see get some merch. It's probably not worth going. I don't know. It's worth going once just you know, to have that like Blizzard mecca. I know that that's something I grew up as a kid being like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool to go to BlizzCon. And it was cool, and then it's like, yeah, okay, like I'm not really spending any time in the convention center. We're just like running around, like drinking, eating, hanging out. Maybe we'll watch a game or two, maybe we'll play a demo once or twice, and then we go home. Like that's it's nothing crazy,
honestly. Like my thing is Gamescom feels worth it, because even if I caught streams of Gamescom, I would not be able to see all that is to see, right? Absolutely could just read online what Blizzard is showing
oh, yeah.
in terms of BlizzCon. the social experience I get, meeting people, like, I think that's probably the biggest value that I could see, just folks having a reason to go there. I personally would rather go to a tournament and then meet there and then also have constant, like, you know, one guiding experience and, like, share something there. I think the different panels would rather rip groups apart because of differing interests rather than staying together. And it's just stupidly expensive in a stupidly expensive part of the world. So I personally, if I had to make the decision, like, guys, let's meet up at a DreamHack or let's meet up at BlizzCon, it would be an easy call to make, I think, for me.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, agreed. I think tournaments are definitely way more palatable because it's like a collective. Like, yeah, we're all interested in going to, like, this one thing, and it is one thing and not, like, a bunch of different things where it's like, oh, I wanted to go. Not that very many people, like, that, like, are in and around, I think, both of our, like, social circles, like, are interested in going to, like, panels and stuff. Yeah, there is that, like, divvied up, like, oh, you have people, like, going to see World Cup, and, like, some people want to go play the demo for, like, XYZ game, and, like, it's just a little too much stuff. Whereas a tournament is, you know, finals are always fun because it's like BlizzCon, but, like, way cheaper because you're just going to, like, a place and you're not going to L fucking A. So, yeah, agreed there. But yeah, fun experience. Met and saw a lot of people. That was fun. And yeah, credit to KSA. Killed it. Did well. Sad to see. I saw a lot of tweets in Kenobi was echoing this a lot, that Team China, the most consistent team in World Cup history. Just always second.
Always?
Never winning. Not always, but I think for the last couple of years, like, placing on the podium but never getting gold.
Kong line.
Silver blood, baby. Shoutouts. if that makes sense to anybody else but us.
Yeah. Yeah, no G. There's a good chance we have some in the
Probably. Audience. I know Eric does. Shout out, Eric. That being said, Overwatch World Cup is finished. And the other thing that is finished is the Overwatch League, like we've mentioned. And I did kind of want to raise a couple questions as to what comes next. I know that you brought up a video that is live on GG Recon. If you want to get, like, in-depth views from Yusuke's point of view, definitely check that out. But I did want to kind of raise some questions that maybe this video answers, but I want to kind of, like, get your thoughts on these. A couple people from, like, our community definitely, like, had some interesting takes on, like, what a couple of other pundits, you know, namely PlaidChat, have been talking about. And I kind of wanted to raise these questions that a couple of them had brought up, but was very interested to hear your side of this. As somebody who I believe is quite MTX-pilled, is that an end-all be-all for the future of Overwatch esports?
No, and I think it's a little overrated by even Orc owners in esports at large.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the problem with things saying over and underrated, because I assume people have an accurate, as what I think is accurate, rating and of what everyone else believes, and then I'm rating that against the Orc ownership. So I think everyone already believes that it is a viable revenue stream, and that if the product is good, people will buy it. And I believe that people understand that this works to a large degree in other esports. But, and that's a big but, I hear a lot of Orc owners, like, say, like, oh, if a developer doesn't offer this, we are out. I understand. Like, it's a revenue stream that you're not getting. And I think that's you might make this as, like, a rule, and especially if you want to apply pressure. I just think, like, we're not in a situation where the fact that it's esports is necessarily adding enough reason as to entice a viewer to buy the thing.
Okay.
The added value of the thing, the MTX thing that you're buying being esports product is not driving sales to the degree that folks want you to believe.
Can I raise an eyebrow at that? Is there room for improvement to shift that opinion?
Well, the problem is that someone ran a gigantic test about just that, which was the international. They ran the test of like subtracting the like Dota always had the compendium.
Yeah.
They said this is going to contribute towards the TI pool.
And you get a fuckload of stuff out of it, right?
And the compendium gave a fuckload of stuff.
Right.
If you give a fuckload of stuff and you do not tie it to TI, do people still buy? And if you offer something that is exclusively an esports product that does not have all the ton of stuff, do people still contribute towards the prize pool in the same way?
Yeah.
And both of those answers are clearly no. The prize pool of TI was, I believe, don't let me lie. Let me look it up real quick.
It was fractional, right?
TI prize pool 2023. Was
for anybody
$3 million.
That was
2022 was 18 million or almost 19. 2021 was 40. Okay, I'm sorry, proof of concept, you're fucked. Okay, but it could just be you could argue this could just be a Dota thing. I don't believe it is.
I don't think so.
I think like the proofs of concept that sort of work is like stickers in Go.
Sure.
Rather in CS, where you actually get the signatures of the players and there's some brand value there. And there's, yes, they have like some almost currency like properties in people actually investing in them as an asset in some way. To be honest, like, they only went up, so fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, look at the price development. Like, 2021 was 40 million. All like, this price pool has never been this small since 2013, 10 years ago. Okay.
Right. And I guess, and if I'm accurately kind of like trying to read between the lines, is your worry that the compendium was never like an esports product, or wasn't like directly
it was
tied
just
to
good as a product?
Right, exactly.
And as soon as you uncouple or decouple the esports from that product, it's still selling. And as soon as you offer up a product that is still tied to the esports and still contributes to the same goal, the people see that the value proposition is much lower and only contribute a fraction towards of their recreational spending because they're not getting the good shit. Okay.
Right.
And that's, I believe, also true. I think like it's not a bubble to the degree that, let's say, or like a false belief to the degree that broadcasting rights is. I think there will always be a residual income, and I think it will only increase. I'm actually a big believer that virtual items are going to increase in importance in our lifetime significantly, right?
Sure, yeah, of course.
I'm a big believer in virtual spaces and that increasing. And maybe that like that's the long-term goal. I feel like they're communicating a short-term viability. And yeah, there's some income stream. I'm not shortchanging it. I just, as I perceive it, I think owners are making this to be more of a fuck you, Eric.
that's kind of where I like. I think a lot of people could, and for audio listeners, Eric's brought up what are they called? Bored Ape NFTs.
Eric is the type of motherfucker that is currently seeking like ocular treatment. Okay, motherfucker got it. His retina fried at that fucking Bored Ape treatment. Is slagging me.
What Yeska does sound very like NFT pilled. I don't think it needs to be like monetary. I think like taking Hedgeword on face is just like there will be more things are digital, as more things are.
I'm not NFT pilled. Fuck art.
No.
But
yeah,
Fuck artists in particular. But the the value is that more of us of our the new frontier is digital. Let's say this.
Yeah, 100%.
And that
there's going to be more digital culture that involves around collecting and stuff of that nature, and of
not
course,
just collecting,
like,
but like actually, like functional stuff, an avenue.
Right? Yeah,
right, like. G2 talked about like having virtual spaces where they want their fans to come together, and it only makes sense to have virtual merchandise for them to, you know, signal, self-express the type of things in this environment. I know folks are not high on the metaverse. I think it's like probably a wrong idea of what folks think, but like over long and short, we will move inevitably into systems that allow for more virtual connectivity. I think the best selling point of that is remote work and how you want to have a compromise in virtual spaces. But yeah, I think overall and short, this will increase, but it's currently probably overhyped in what you can necessarily expect. In some esports, it's a huge thing just because the system is like. As it works as a virtual currency in CS, and there orcs are seeing a big up. It also works to a very large degree on Valorant. That is predicated on the fact that the developer recognizes it as a marketing expense and therefore is willing to lose
money
on the individual items, which could feasibly... Not only are they subsidizing the esport, therefore creating the brand value for you much more so than in other esports, it is also willing to forego their immediate income in order to build a scene where more actors are in because they believe in the long term they're creating the new Olympics and have first dips on it, right?
Yeah.
They are in the long play. And on top of that, they're not a publicly traded company that has to answer to any shareholders, and they can actually burn money out of a belief that they can do this, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very fundamentally different system. And like, if you ask me, I think fairly you would have to also have to say, do you believe in virtual items? It depends on the system they are entrenched
in. Sure. That's
and
fair.
Given the culture around virtual purchases in Valorant that are totally acceptant of arguably inflated pricing, that's much more feasible than it ever was in Overwatch. And we're starting from a background of a lot of free shit. I actually was quite kind of surprised how relatively unproblematic or like I didn't see too much headwinds for the price points of the Left Seraphim skins.
Yeah. People are willing to pay up, especially if it's a good product, as you know, CS has shown us, as Valorant has shown us, and as Overwatch is tending to be.
Were you for that in the arena for that concert?
God no.
Why not?
I don't care.
Wait, aren't you the K-pop guy? Aren't you the guy that's just like stimming during Crouch? What listening to?
Yeah, every once in a while, like I do fancy me some K-pop, but if I'm not going to like be it like live in audience, then I can just watch this as a YouTube video because that's all that was available seating wise. Like by the time I was in the arena where that was going to be live was packed, like we're not getting a seat. So like that was just off the table, okay. And I don't even think I would go anyways.
Say yes or no.
Okay.
Boomerang, no, yes or no?
Boomerang, yes or no? Yes.
Okay, Eric, go back 5 seconds. In the. No. Okay, you're a boomer. You guys didn't see that, but like Eric completely boomered. Go back in the video, not on the fucking. bring out the audience. I want to see the audience.
Okay.
Dude.
I'm full screening this. I gotta see what he's talking about.
Can motherfuckers stop perceiving events that once in a lifetime events through their fucking screens? Are you fucking dumb? Like, there are state-of-the-art cameras in the room. You can watch that shit on YouTube. You can probably even see and point towards you and go like to your stump friends, look, that's me. You do not have to watch that shit through the fucking screen of your phone. You can actually just vibe with the moment, actually give off some emotion. Dude, these are the same motherfuckers that are like getting upset about all kinds of like virtual fuck you, Eric. Like all kinds of virtual content creation, and in the end, like, I'm sorry that you're watching through your little virtual window while being there present. I never understood it. I will never understand it. I do not understand people that are doing it in my generation. This is like as terminally online as I might be. Like, this is just not something that checks out with me. I don't get it.
Does not make sense. I can understand the line of like, oh, okay, like you're gonna post on social media and do like some content for it or around it. Okay, I guess. But hey, you do you. Yeah, no, did not go to Le Seraphim. Heard it was good. I think I was drunk at that point, I'm gonna be honest.
What are you doing at these events? Jesus Christ.
All the debauchery. But we just drank. That's all we usually do. It's just
some
hang out in
a hotel
room and drink.
Oh,
yeah.
Based.
Just drink and hang out.
Whose hotel
pizza.
Room was this time?
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
It's not that it's serious, but I don't know if they want to be included. But yes. Overwatch.
It was Sean Miller.
Yeah, me and Sean Miller like this, baby. Nate Nanzer was there. It was crazy.
Right. Yeah. Chill.
All the old commissions.
Chill.
No, it was we did go over that lore. It was relaxed.
Relax, true.
It was relax.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Relax.
Yeah, yeah.
My man's a relaxing Fortnite.
He really is max and relaxing, chilling all cool. Give shout outs to the Twisted Towers for me, Mr. Nanzer. But yes, Overwatch League, MTX. I think I'm a little bit more MTX pilled. Partially because that's what's going to keep orgs around, right? Like, I think I agree with you in principle, but if we're really starting from ground zero this year, and I really need to stress that a lot, because a lot of people are just kind of being like, oh, well, this year, you know, next year is going to be rough. Yeah, it's going to be rough because we're literally resetting the esport.
Yes.
And that's how it really should be treated, and I worry that that isn't how it's going to be treated.
I also agree, yeah.
Partially, you know, maybe this is still a little nitpicky, but like taking, for example, Flash Ops, which does start this weekend, folks. Just so you know, we don't want to talk about competition. We want to support Overwatch Esports. Flash Ops is happening this weekend. It's, you know, this is now how Overwatch Esports is going to be consumed. It's going to be, you know, every other weekend, there's going to be like a little event and we're going to have to like kind of tune in.
For now,
so
anyway,
again,
yeah.
So, like, you know.
The thing is, by the way, just so I have this out there, I would temper expectations for some of those rosters because there are a bunch of players from the leaked screenshot, also from Shy, that have a bunch of players in Saudi E-League. So I assume a lot of these stacked rosters also have deep rosters because they expect some of their starters to be there.
Yeah.
And there's a decent chunk of overlap in terms of how long these tournaments run. So we're unfortunately not getting the absolute like best selection, but decent chunk of those rosters still will be very beefy.
Yeah, super competitive, very strong. And this is, again, as much as these have not been necessarily super like, I don't know how seriously people took them in the past. I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to shift in terms of a culture. It's like, no, these are just the events now. Like, this is our tournament. Like, this is stuff that you're... There's no minimum contract for kids to just like sleep on. There's no like, oh, well, the Overwatch League is better. It's like, well, no, there's no more Overwatch League. There's no more minimum contracts. Like, this is how you're going to be making a living. This is how you're going to be chasing further opportunities as players, as talent. Like, this is the new culture. So there's no like, oh, well, how seriously do we take Flash Ops when Saudi E-League is like, no, this is, you know, this is global. You know, we have multiple different regions competing in their own Flash Ops, if I'm understanding it correctly. So it's this is it. Like,
right.
We got to show up.
Yeah.
Take it seriously. That kind of thing, which is going to take some time. But yeah, I think MTX is going to be a big thing. I think they have to kind of like shift. I was going somewhere with the Flash Ops tie-in, and maybe I'll get back to it. But
can I, by the way, I just came up with one thing that I wanted to address in the World Cup stuff. You know how KSA said, like, oh yeah, we want to scrim against Korea. Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell you, as Scrimbox Tea Leaf Reader, bro, that's the old Dallas Fuel. What the fuck are you saying? This team perennially lost scrims, okay?
It was ass in scrims, yeah.
Like, of course they are going to fucking get, like, they probably lost to, again, I don't know, against fucking
USA?
Colombia. Like,
damn, Colombia.
I don't know if they did, but like, it wouldn't surprise
me.
These really?
That bad?
Dude, like, it's just Dallas Fuel. They will just fucking tank in scrims. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Sure. And then they will win the Overwatch League the next week, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason, and it doesn't mean anything. Rush is not a coach that optimizes for scrim wins. And I also think, like, that just because they lost a close match against a really good China roster does not necessarily mean that they completely beefed the event. China just is, like, a really good roster. And I agree, they should be winning this. And I agree, I think they probably misselected some of the members on the Korean lineup. So, like, if we talk about, you know, the top five or so teams still being, probably favorites to win it, there was some motherfuckers on that team that probably weren't top five. Count their role anymore. So,
definitely not.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Be that as it may, China is a great team. Like, Shy Leaf forever will be goated. And overall really fun. And then in terms of Flash Ops, that's going to be interesting because it also leads into an offline event once again. I think people are overseeing this. Like, this is actually a little bit more than you would expect from this type of tournament. It is going to lead, like, I'm not sure if I agree with the amount of slots being given. I don't know if you saw that, but it's like one for East Asia, two for Japan, and then Southeast
three
Asia,
for Korea.
And then three for Korea. Two for Japan, boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, at least the Korean one will bang, and then I think, like, top three is also pretty locked in. We'll see. It depends on the bracket as well.
Is it okay if we want to get into tea leaf reading? Is it crazy to probably see it as we kind of venture into, like, whatever happens next in 2024 and beyond, with more tournaments like this popping up, assumedly? Is it weird to speculate that maybe Blizzard wants to try to revive some of these, like, more, like, semi-competitive regions, and thus they'll do that by trying to accelerate them
probably
through slots?
It's probably based on good data to... I just think, like, do you need that much in the entrance, that many slots, necessarily? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there are two competitive teams in all of Japan that could even take a map of any of the Korean teams. Like, even remotely, maybe even get a point of them.
Sure.
So we'll see how that develops. But I agree fundamentally. It's just maybe you need other systems to first develop these leagues beforehand, because it really feels like, I don't know, you're putting Little Timmy in with a Terminator, and I'm not sure how much Little Timmy is learning there.
And maybe League fans can tell me if I'm a dumbass for either misremembering this or making this up. But I feel like a lot of, like, smaller regions when it comes to, like, Worlds, I say this because, like, Worlds is happening for League of Legends. But I want to say in the past that some of the minor regions have like, put a very, very high value on making Worlds because of how much growth that team and those players will get with competing and getting scrims with some of the best players in the world. And I feel like as shitty as it sounds to say that it's just like, oh, well, you get the opportunity to like meet with the CEO of X company. And like, I do feel like there is an intrinsic value that isn't necessarily like tangible when it comes to like having a team from SEA compete and having, you know, some of the Japanese teams come over and compete, against assumedly some of the best Korean teams there are, which should just be some of the best teams in the world. So I do think that there is more there than I think people realize. Maybe it's a little bit different in Overwatch. Maybe, obviously, two different products, two very different genres of games. So
yeah,
maybe a little different. Because, yeah, no, they really shouldn't and probably won't be very competitive. But there's value there for sure. I do hate the fact that Flash Ops is just the same old map pool, the same old system. Like, that's not giving me hope.
Yeah, fuck
we
that.
We need to really blow this shit up and just...
Yep.
Yeah. It's we're not doing it right already.
Yeah.
It, like, I want to see new tournament structures. I want to see hero bands. I want to see, okay, top seed, you know, have a Swiss format and seed the groups, and then higher seed picks the game type and lower seed picks the map.
Yeah.
However you need to do it, experiment. This is, I feel like the next 2 years is where Overwatch esports experiments. Like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head. We need to test for what viewership and what the viewers really want. They will vote with their eyes, and we move from there. I think we all understand that esports is an individual product, that where we focus on players and player stories and individuals. That has to be reinstated. But when it comes to formats, stop trying to... The league is dead. We have closed that chapter. We are done with it. If there was ever an opportunity to experiment, it would be now. The fact that Flash Ops is not experimenting does not give me hope.
Yeah. I also just want more small events. Like, I want to take TV again, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Stuff like this would be really fun. Sure.
Yep. It would be super, super cool. And that's where I worry about another thing that I wanted to circle back with that you commented on towards the beginning of the show was helicopter parents. I will not comment on alleged or maybe reported on suitors for the future of Overwatch esports. But if you want to talk about helicopter parents, I feel like they also might be one of them as well. Alas, we still have a helicopter parent. And I think it's pretty obvious that Blizzard is still helicopter parenting Overwatch esports, even though they've, you know, effectively closed the Overwatch League. Here we are still with, again, it's Blizzard's event, so I'd imagine they would want some say so, of course. But why does it need to be the same? Why does it have to be everything? Yeah, that's where I'm just like, they're just so rigid. They just don't want to change it. They think it's just going to solve itself. And I think that, I think everybody is expecting like 2025 to be a success. I wouldn't put it. We can't put a number on this. This really has to be. The timeline is whenever Blizzard stops trying to be a helicopter parent.
Pretty much.
That's when we really get off the ground and we can really grow. But until then, we're going to be stuck with the same format that nobody really likes all that much. Because if we did, then we'd watch, you know? Yes. When we focus on players, when we focus on telling stories, that's going to help and that's going to bolster viewership. But it's pretty clear that the systems and the tournament structures that we have currently are far too volatile for viewership, for consistent viewership, I should say. And yeah, I really do echo a lot of the stuff that you were talking about at the beginning of the show, that like we have to try to solve for the problem of Overwatch because the balance team can't. And that's fine that they can't. But why should we just throw up our hands and say, well, we can't do anything about it? I find that to be laughable. I find that to be absurd. And I think there are ways to experiment with tournament structures and systems to alleviate that. So the fact that Flash Ops is not doing that, it's a little sad. Whatever we have, I don't know if the Saudi E-League structure has been announced just yet, so I can't comment, but it's I really hope to see more experimentation.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
All right. Boy. I think that is pretty much it. We will not go into rosters just yet. We will save that for another day.
Right.
And yeah, we will probably come in next week and do some in memoriam best of content for some of Overwatch League era style awards, maybe we'll say. We'll do some rank downs. Hopefully we can procure some guests that will be experts in their individual fields, but that will be for next week. I think that's pretty much it for this week. Yesuke, what's coming down the pipeline?
Well, okay, so first the one is like how did professionals in the Overwatch League or in the Overwatch esports system perceive the BlizzCon announcements? We're continuing to do some content. It's sort of like, you know, thinking out loud what kind of ideas are important. We're going to do a lot of like explanations on how Overwatch esports as a game works. I'm getting in a little bit more into feature writing. I'm really that, but I will also say I'm evaluating myself, you know, what the future holds, and yeah, we'll see. The next couple of weeks will decide that.
It is a very interesting time, as we are kind of closing that chapter. So there's a lot to reminisce on, a lot to kind of write some flowery stuff about. So that'll probably be where I spend most of my weekend. But as it stands for this week, I'm still recouping. Still a little exhausted, still a little tired. Letting the brain rejuicify.
Yeah.
Playing a little bit of Warcraft Rumble as well.
Oh, yeah, same. What kind of deck are you playing?
I lucked out and got Tyrion. So that was kind of like what I've been PvEing with.
Is there like a tier list? Of like Tyrion,
there's stuff out there. I think right now it's definitely Baron Rivendare that is like, I think everybody agrees that like it's incredibly popular and it's very good.
That's what I'm playing.
Yeah, Baron is definitely out there and is good. But yeah, playing a lot of Warcraft Rumble. We can chat about that after the show because I don't want to juice the end of this. But yeah, chilling this week, hitting the ground running next week with some flowery in memoriam stuff. And yeah, hopefully everybody enjoyed the World Cup coverage. I tried to get in touch with as many teams as possible. Some teams didn't get back to me in time, but that's okay. And yeah, hopefully that was useful, helpful. And yeah, that's 321. We'll be back next week with hopefully some rank down stuff. And we'll see you then. All right. Adios.
Peace.